Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, okay, technical difficulties, hold the fuck on. Welcome, all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of... You fucking guessed it. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every week on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is on LA Talk Radio Channel 1, where we are sitting in our lovely studios here in Sherman Oaks, California. And we are also syndicated on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, and soon to be on Spotify. We're coming at you live here, like we do every Wednesday on Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. We've had a lot of exciting stuff going on lately. We are here with our guest today, Gino Montesinos. Did I say it right?
Perfect.
Awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't butcher your name. That's always a good plus. Anyway, we've been up to no good lately, as always. And, next Wednesday, all you East Coast motherfuckers, I'm coming for you. Right. You hear me? Jenny's Real Talk on the Block will be on East Coast next week. I will be in Maine and Boston and a bunch of other fucking places and whatever. But I'm going to be all over those places, Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Yeah, so I'm going to be there visiting family, my daughter. What up, Samantha Bailey? How's it going? I will be there next week. Your mother already bought her ticket. No, I just need to buy the one that comes back. Because I'm not getting stuck in that godforsaken place. So you better send me fucking money, Big Daddy. You better be sending me fucking money real good.
I got you, baby.
Your woman needs to come home.
I got you.
Because I'm not getting stuck in that place. I love you, Samantha, but I'm sorry. I can't do it. It's boring. It's really boring there. It really is. I'm going to have to go to the lake every day just to keep it real, keep it, something going on. The lake and Walmart. It's exciting. And a theater with two whole movies. I'm going up by Canada to Holton, Maine. So be prepared. What up to Greg Coster? What up to WHOU 100.1 in Holton, Maine? And what up to Jason Hill? I was 94.7 FM, Kix FM in Monticello, Maine. What up? I will be there next week. So you better be ready to meet up with me. We got to collaborate and shit. Radio people stuff. You wouldn't understand. No. Oh, wait. You're on the radio. Never mind. I forget I said that. I smoke too much pot.
I learned everything I know from you.
I'm trying to teach
which
you.
Which is not much.
My young Padawan. Fuck you. Which is not much.
We.
I let you run the board a few times or something.
I appreciate that.
That's why you're the co-host.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. This is also my husband.
Hello, everybody.
This is your hostess with the mostest, Jennifer DeVoe. Forgot I said that. Didn't say that part.
No.
I had it in my head before I was going to go on the air that I was going to say this really great thing. I was going to be like, this is Jenny and the Muse. It's JJ. James Muse, a.k.a. JJ, a.k.a. the husband, a.k.a. Shadow Man. Shout out to Sasha Burr.
Sasha George.
Sasha George Jilly and Jilly Briggs.
What's up, y'all? What How up? Y'all doing?
Yes. And we've had a lot of stuff going on lately. Where did we go last? What was it?
With the characters.
Friday night. Friday night.
That was
Friday the 13th.
Right.
We went to Characters Bar in Pomona.
That was fun.
And a lot of people showed up.
Right.
That was a bar fight. It was cool.
Right.
People beat the crap out of each other.
No, it was one-sided. Come on now. One dude had black eyes. Another one was like, okay.
It was a couple of Hispanic dudes who were like brawling it out.
Like he just uppercut. Boop, 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 boop.
And one of them just had like, oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great show. There was a lot of really good bands there. I can't think of the names of any of them, to tell you the truth.
So many bands. That's
there was
why.
There was a bunch. I ran the door. Don't look at me. Infiltrator. I think that was one of the names of them, wasn't it? Infiltrator.
I don't know.
We
run into a lot of bands.
I just work here. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. anything else? Oh, you got Jellyfest coming up.
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
We got Jellyfest coming up. The husband's going to cover that. This July 27th. Right. It's Green Jello. I don't know who that is. It's a band. Little Pig, Let Me In. No.
I don't know.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And they did the claymation with the wolf and the pigs and the stuff. It's them. It's,
right.
Oh, I missed that. I got to check that out.
Dude, you got to check it out.
No, the show is good. He has big live puppets.
Bill Manspeaker. What up? Shout out to Bill Manspeaker. I'm trying to get him on the show. And please come on the show. Lead singer. The guy's badass.
Yeah.
He has a different band in every city.
Huh.
Like he has calls his group in a certain area. It's like, I need you. I need my drummer. Boom.
It's like a hooker that travels.
What do you have? 800, he said? 840?
He's like 800. Over 800.
800 band members.
Over 800 band members. It was crazy. I was like, that's nuts. But it's just easier for him than flying around, like spending all that money with a bunch of, you know, people and stuff. And then you don't have to see the same people all the time and get disappointed by them and want to beat the crap out of them. You know, they owe you money. You got to slap them around. You got to fly. Now I'll be like, fuck you. I want my money now before I leave the city. Before I leave now.
Right.
Because I got to go to another band. Okay, so pay up. I couldn't do that. That'd be too much.
The mark of efficiency. I like it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. But it's Green Jello. So it's like Green Jello, but they had to... Because of Jello Corporation, they had spelled it J-E-L-L-O, Green Jello, like that, and so they got sued, and so they had to change the name of the band to Green. It's still Green Jello, but it's spelled with a Y, J-E-L-L-Y, but it's got the umlaut over the top, which turns it into an O. I love how they still get away with it, but it don't got the dash. No, screw you, yeah. Jello. And firing Bill Cosby. So what if he's a rapist?
But look,
and
that
drugs
bad
women.
For the, but that looks bad for the company, baby.
Really?
Come on, yes.
Really? Oh, come on.
Maybe not our company, but other people, yes.
You mean he's not a full-on rapist?
I don't know. Maybe part-time. Who knows?
But he gives money to lots of charities. He's a full-on rapist. Didn't you know that?
I guess I don't know.
He doesn't get it. A philanthropist.
Oh,
full on rapist. Get it? Come on. Oh. Jesus. You know, he gives money to great all kinds of charities and people. They said on there it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Full on rapist.
They said, you know, tell him you're a philanthropist. Tell him that you do really great stuff, that you give money to charities and the poor, and you're just a good person, and you know, you have a great job and stuff. And so he goes on this blind date. It's Charlie Day. He goes on this blind date with this Asian chick. And he goes, I work a lot. I do a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'm a full-on rapist, you know. And, you know, and it's really hard sometimes. But, you know, being a full-on rapist is just, you know.
He was about to say it, right?
Yeah, and he goes, full-on rapist. And he's like, and she's like, what did you just say? She's like looking at him all creeped out, like she's about to get, you know, roofied, and she's all, God, what? You know, people give to, you know, I give to like to help people. I give to the poor, you know, poor and the charities, and you know, a full on rapist. And she goes, oh, a philanthropist. Oh, okay, thank God. She got really scared, like she's about to get, you know, taken into the back of a van and dragged off.
It's a little bit of a difference.
That was a huge difference, but, you know, like I said, Bill Cosby, one of the best full-on rapists I know.
Now I got it.
Me too.
Sorry.
I was worried there for a second, but...
Yeah. But he is really... it's a double entendre. Yeah. Anyway, we're here with Gino Montesinos.
Right.
At LA Talk Radio.
Right.
In Sherman Oaks, California. And we are here to talk about... your career.
Right.
Your illustrious career in acting and directing and all the stuff that you do, commercials and voiceovers and
and
Bears
future,
Oh My.
And future projects and all
and
of
Bears
that.
Bears Oh My. So how did you get into acting? What brought, I mean, I see you are from L.A.
I'm originally from New York.
Oh, you're originally from New York?
I'm originally from New York.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What part of New York?
I grew up in Queens.
Oh,
yeah.
You're Queens. A Queens boy.
Yeah. My dad was a graduate student at the time, and he was a PhD in literature, and he basically
ooh,
had
ooh.
To.
That's something.
And he basically had to go see great movies, and we had revival houses in Manhattan. So every Sunday he would take us because we didn't have any money for a babysitter.
Oh, wow.
To, you know, in the 90s and the 80s, and I think they still have them now. They have, you know, play old movies kind of thing.
Right.
And his, I think he had to pick a time period, and he picked the 70s.
Okay.
All, like, you know, Coppola and, you know,
good
Scorsese
stuff.
And stuff like
that's
that.
Good
so,
stuff.
Yeah, I wound up seeing a movie called Taxi Driver.
Oh, yes. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love
with
that.
De Niro.
I know. I love Robert De Niro. That's a great movie.
Yeah, and my dad was basically, you know, he was a teacher, so he asked me, so, you know, me and my brother and my sister, who you know, tell me, why did you like this movie? Mm-hmm. And I remember telling him, I said, Dad, I know that that this was a movie, and he's an actor, and I don't particularly am interested in killing people, but I know he's an actor. I know he feels more emotionally than I do or you mm-hmm. do. I want to do that job.
Right.
And I said, Dad, he makes a lot of money too, right? And my father said, yeah. He says, okay, now I definitely want to do that job.
Right.
Well, you look like you could pass for Italian. Are you Italian?
Quarter Italian.
Yes, I knew it.
A quarter Italian. My grandfather is from Genoa. He's not even.
Oh, wow. Like Genoa salami and stuff.
Genoa salami.
The good shit.
Genoa salami, Christopher Columbus.
That's how you know it's good. It's genuine.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say genuine, but genuine.
Yeah, my grandfather's from Genoa.
That's cool.
Northern Italy. And
nice.
Met my grandmother in Colombia.
Oh,
and then
Colombian.
My parents met in Colombia, and I
good
was
Coke.
Born in New York.
Sorry.
We are only one of the 90% of Colombians not involved in cocaine.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing. We like that. The non-cocaine Colombians. More money for the other ones.
That's funny.
Sorry.
Anyway, so that's how I became interested in. There was a wonderful program for children, children's theater. They had a unit. It was an adult theater called Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. Founded by a Puerto Rican woman named Miriam Colon, and there was the Raul Julia training unit, children's training unit, and that's where I trained up, and just, you know, took dance classes, acting classes, all kinds of classes, and we were 9 years old up to about 17, 18.
Oh wow!
And then we were adults, and we go to adult classes, but it was a very special time. I think the city funded it, so it was very well funded, and it was pretty cool.
That sounds like you had a fun childhood doing that, man.
I did. I was very lucky. My dad is a hippie, and my mom is very progressive. And
we like
right.
And, I like hippies.
We love. Yeah, we're progressive.
I'm a hippie.
Here. Yeah, you know, and so they kind of like let me do what I wanted to do, and they wanted me to be busy. You know. Be busy so I wouldn't get in trouble.
Right, because so, that's what happens, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So I was in school from 9 to 3 p.m.,
right.
Take the subway into Manhattan from 4 to 8 p.m., and then take the subway back to Queens, 9 p.m., go to sleep, do my homework, go to sleep.
Right.
And so I was busy
that's
the whole
lot.
Time. And so I stayed at that. That's how I stayed at. God forbid if I didn't have that, who knows where I'd be.
You know,
in jail somewhere because, you know, kids could get delinquents, you know. You
just your mind's busy. It's nothing that, you know, you get bored and just any kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You get caught up in stuff too, you know. You get hang caught up with the wrong people.
You know, and I hung out with older boys, and the older boys can kind of like trying to act tough and everything to get you in trouble.
Right.
And so, you know, I avoided all that just by getting into Shakespeare and, you know, getting into classical theater. My background is more classical theater, believe it or not. Hmm. And that really, you know, one of the things that marked my childhood was a woman named Yvonne Cole, a Puerto Rican actress. Hmm. And she was on Broadway doing Lady Macbeth with an African American actor named Keith David,
okay.
And he was playing. He was playing.
I heard that name.
Yeah. He's a huge actor. He was playing Macbeth, and she was playing Lady Macbeth. And I'm watching these actors of color. I'm 9 years old.
I've heard her name too, though.
Yeah, she's Jane the Virgin's grandma.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a great actress from Puerto Rico. I think her film debut was in Godfather 2.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So she's been around
that's
for
hardcore.
A long time.
That's
and
a,
then
yeah, that's a lot.
She moved to New York to study with Lee Strasberg. And then
another good name.
And then she became, you know, that's her generation. Then she came and taught us.
That's great.
And, you know, I she's one of the linchpins of my career that she said something really interesting. She said basically a white actor to get a part has to work hard. An African-American actor to get a part, the same part has to work twice as hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're Latinos. To get the same part, you have to work three times as hard.
Damn.
So I'm paranoid personally, so I work four times as hard.
Right.
And that's
I'm right there with you, buddy.
And that's
fist bump.
And that's what has sustained me, why I've been a working actor for many years, because it's like I basically work harder than most people.
Right.
You know, not, paranoia goes far.
Paranoia goes very far.
No, but hard work goes even further.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big believer in talent. I'm a big believer in perspiration, you know, like the Thomas Alva Edison quote. You
but
know,
still, either you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I've seen people that tried to act, they could not do it. They really, because I did stage, like mm-hmm. you, like theater
sure.
in high school. That's what started bringing me out of my shell.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, because I was really introverted and hard to believe.
Right.
As a kid, I was extremely introverted, so I just kind of sat in the back of the class and like ducked my head down and just, you know, just kept to myself.
Look
so
at
I know.
You now, you're gorgeous. I mean,
well, thank
so,
you. Thank
so
you very much.
Open and fun and fabulous.
Well, you have to now. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. But I was like, screw it. I'm just going to do it. I used to get so paranoid. I would be like, I'd be up in front of the class and be like, oh, my hands are shaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like trying to have a hard, I'm having a hard time just getting the words out. They want me to read, you know, some friggin' Shakespeare. And I'm sitting there going. So finally my senior year, I said, screw it.
Good for you.
I'm just going to like try something. So I worked a little stage and I saw people who just, oh God, yeah, no. They should not be in it. And I hope you really did go to medical school. And you weren't lying to me. Because you would have made a much better surgeon than an actor. Thank you. Anyway, I was one of the only nerds to make it out alive.
I love it. It's definitely not for everybody being a performer, that's for sure.
Mm. No, but yeah. I think people like us are going to excel more in these fields of, cause like that's a goal of mine eventually is to make our own TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
Cause we have already several things that we're working on, like the concepts, the ideas, great. The, you know, so I, you know, oh, you would be a great character in some of those too.
Oh, I'd love to. Let me know.
You know, cause if I can afford you.
Right.
I mean, if you work for cheese and crackers, you know, man, I got a lot of cheese and crackers.
Strawberry and almonds.
I could buy you all the yogurt you want, Starbucks, whatever you need, man. I don't know if I can pay you a ton, but, it'll give you more experience. We'll be on YouTube.
Oh boy.
I need people of color. In my productions. Sorry. Anyway, so I saw you did a Kaiser Permanente commercial.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
that about? I thought that was crazy. I was reading down through the bio, and I was like, that's nuts. You did Kaiser Permanente. What did you dress up as again?
I was a sculptor. I was a wood sculptor.
A wood sculptor.
A wood sculptor.
Mm. And that's hilarious.
That was an Allison Janney commercial.
Interesting.
Allison Janney, she did the voice. She was like the voiceover person for
right.
that. And I was just this, you know, wood sculptor guy. You know, doing his thing.
That's hilarious, though. Yeah. Trying to sculpt from wood.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Hey,
I think that was the point they were trying to make.
Yeah.
It's like sculpting from wood. It just won't work. Sorry, I made hand gestures. Didn't want you all thinking something. Anyway, I see you do commercials, though. What else? What other commercials have you done?
My favorite commercial that I did was, it was a Comcast commercial.
Oh, okay.
And they shut down an entire wing of Ontario Airport just to shoot.
Holy crap, really?
Just to shoot two of us guys.
Wow.
And I worked with two Oscar-nominated directors.
Damn.
Ooh. And it was kind of interesting was that they spent maybe an hour on my hair. I have some kind of like a, believe it or not, kind of like an afro. And they made it into a sort of an Egyptian pyramid.
Your
oh,
hair.
That's crazy.
And so I like to think that my hair got me the job.
Nice.
And so they pan the camera from camera right, camera left, and they shoot my hair, and I'm snoring.
And then, oh, that's crazy.
And then the lead was an African-American actor, a really wonderful director as well. And he's just sort of trying
Who's that?
Oh, I forget. He's a working guy like me.
Okay,
you know.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of commercials. And,
at least you're still working constantly.
That's true. That's true.
That's good. Yeah, I know everybody can say that in the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
To be blessed.
I think this might actually be wood. Possibly.
And he was the lead of the commercial, and it was kind of a funny commercial, something to do about Comcast and etc. Mm.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't need to call me. Thank you. Anyway, no, you cannot reach out and touch someone right now. You can touch yourself, but you don't need to touch me. Thank you. Anyway, I really should do that stand-up comedy night on Mondays.
Oh, you should. You're right. A natural, my goodness.
I was going to do that. I was like, I totally pussied out Monday. Either that or I just fell asleep because I was really high.
We went to bed.
I was really high. Anyway, I smoke a lot of weed. I can't help it. California, you know, some of these people in Los Angeles just make you want to go there. So you need to smoke a lot of weed. You know, it's legal now. Just don't smoke it in public.
Yeah.
We're living proof of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to court next Tuesday. That's why I'm not in Maine right now. Motherfuckers. Goddamn state of California. Tell me weed's recreational, and then I smoke it in public, and you put me in handcuffs.
Right. Wow.
Huh? Oh, LAPD, you little bitches. Come say something to me now. right here at LA Talk Radio. Sweet 410, bitch.
By the time y'all get here, we'll be gone.
I'll be out smoking weed outside in public again.
Baby, why'd you tell them?
I'm sure they watch our show. If they don't, I don't give a shit. I don't. It's funny because I come from law enforcement. My grandfather was a cop. My uncle was a cop. I have a brother-in-law that's a cop in Florida. He's a sheriff. Whatever.
Well, you know what I was telling you? I was getting trouble with bad boys growing up.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Half of us became cops. No, half of us went to jail. Half of us became cops.
Dang.
And I became an actor.
Right.
Dang. So were you the only one that like did the ended up doing the acting thing?
Yeah. But several of them became cops.
Okay.
And the other guys went to jail.
Oh,
you know,
man.
And you know, that's why I would love to see.
It's like that movie Mystic River.
Yeah, I would love to see in every school in America, every grammar school, even some kind of theater. Classical theater related thing because I
for
work
free.
With
stop
for free.
Charging for everything.
I worked. I was Tony Plana's producer and one of his key actors. Tony Plana was the father in Ugly Betty.
Oh, okay.
He's been around forever. He's a really great actor, leader, Cuban actor. And I was basically in his production of Romeo and Juliet and Midsummer Night's Dream. And we traveled all through East L.A., Watts, South Central. We went to San Antonio, Texas. We went all over the place. And I hired actors for him and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And he developed a curriculum in which he would teach. We would come in, we would perform, and then we'd sort of like an hour version, and then we'd come in as actor teachers and teach the next day about the play and stuff.
Right.
And apparently he tracked, we probably taught at least 5,000 students, at least.
Holy damn.
And he tracked, because he wanted to get funding, federal funding or something, he tracked the scores, and they were like markedly higher. I forget exactly, but it was like, bam. And so, and I remember doing this one speech that as a college-educated Shakespearean actor, I didn't even understand. Mm. And then I went and I cleared every single word in the special Shakespeare directory. And I did the speech standing on the auditorium on the chairs.
Okay.
This insane speech. And then the next day, and somehow I understood it, and then the next day, the kids explained to me what happened, and I said, did you understand what I was saying? She said, no. And I said, did you understand what was happening? Yes, your character was losing his mind.
Wow.
And then we had this entire conversation about losing one's mind and how you use literature to talk about life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to see, sports and Shakespeare or some kind of classical theater in all the schools.
Right.
I think it would be well worth it.
It will be.
And music.
Yeah. And music, too,
and
for
music.
Sure.
And music. Gotta have music.
And for sure.
It'll broaden awesome everyone's trips. Minds, children's minds. They need to explore everything, not just one aspect of life.
I saw Les Miserables on Broadway because of my band class. I did 7 years. I played flute in band. We traveled, and we did all the basketball games.
Nice.
And I was in marching band, orchestra band. Like, if you don't do music is really essential. You got to have that kind of stuff. Acting, you need that. Like theater, you need sports, so kids can learn,
There's nothing wrong with well-rounded
winning and losing.
People,
they need to learn how to, not everybody needs a fucking trophy. I'm sorry. Your son sucks at football. And my son is incredible at football. It's not my problem with that. No, but you know what I'm saying? My kid's never played sports, please. My son sat on his fat ass and ate potato chips. Sorry, Chance. I had to put it out there. Now, my daughter's a cheerleader, though, for the football team. So, I think you need that kind of stuff to stay fit in school.
I think so. I would think so. And it's funny because part of the reason why I'm here to talk today is about a movie that I just did with Michael Shannon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Michael Shannon is a two-time Oscar-winning actor.
I know that name.
Two-time Oscar-nominated.
I know that name.
Michael Shannon, he was in HBO's 451 Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay.
He was just nominated for his second Oscar the year before. It was a movie. He plays a sheriff. James... not James Franco, Jeff Bridges, with Jeff Bridges, a Jeff Bridges movie I think 2 years ago, last year.
Sounds
Michael
familiar.
Shannon's a really, really great actor. Mm. And also I work with a guy who, Lou Taylor Pucci, who was best actor at both the Sundance Film Festival and Berlin Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
One of the best actors I've ever worked with. And the reason why I bring it up is because it's about what happens when a parent abandons their children. And it's like this tragic comic tale of these two boys who basically descend into a hell of their own creation because they don't have any adult guidance. And it's a very sad story. And one of their they keep getting into sort of criminal hijinks, and one of their hijinks is that they think that Native Americans are rich because they have casinos.
Right.
So they decide to seduce my daughter because they think I'm a Native American chief, so therefore I must be, you know, have gazillions of dollars.
Right.
Okay.
And so they have this whole sort of game to entrap her, and then he asks for my hand in marriage and stuff like that. But it's one of the most interesting movies I've worked on, because it's almost like told in kind of like a dream state. It's not like A, B, C, D.
Interesting.
It's sort of told in this kind of dreamlike state, anchored with Michael Shannon's monologue.
Oh.
He has a monologue at the beginning and at the end of the movie.
Interesting.
And you get really sad, and you know, I'm not a parent, but you think about how important I'm an uncle twice over, and I'm always thinking now, it's funny, about what kind of legacy can I leave for my nephews, my nephew and my niece.
Right.
And it kind of changes you.
Oh.
You know, and I highly recommend that movie for folks. It's really, especially if they're parents.
Mm. Yeah, so go see Poor Boy.
Yeah, Poor Boy is
playing in theaters now.
Yeah, Poor Boy is playing in theaters nationwide, and it'll also be on video on demand starting August 25th. You can get anywhere.
And
Amazon.
It just came out Friday.
Came out Friday, July 13th.
July 13th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
And so it just got released. Go see Poor Boy.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really great movie.
Yeah, you'll have a good time. It's really, really
interesting. I'm going to end up crying my freaking eyes out.
Probably.
I already know. I'm going to bawl my head off.
Probably.
I seem like a badass bitch, but I bawl like a bitch. And,
yeah, she
watch
a movie. Yeah, she tears up.
I was watching The Green Mile yesterday. I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah. And she's seen it before.
Yeah.
I don't care, but I couldn't remember all of it. You know, it's been a while. And like I said, I smoke too much pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I forget valuable information sometimes.
And, you know, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, Poor Boy. I think it sounds like a really good movie.
It's a really, really, really good movie. And I had a good time making it. I mean, Michael was really, really generous. And Lou is one of the most unpredictable actors I've ever worked with. You know, there's like no plan with him. He just creates on the spot. And it's pretty exciting. You know, there's some deleted footage that didn't make the final cut with Lou that I just want for myself.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember working with him and how unpredictable things were happening, and it was even scary as a performer. I didn't know what was going to happen, and
really,
it's some of my best work.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
You didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, isn't this supposed to be a
sometimes
script?
You can get too planned on a set, and you know, it kills it. And,
okay.
And what you're looking for.
Oh, that's true. You don't fully realize all the emotions and all the. Everything that you would be able to pull out of it if you did it like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other times you just kind of trust your partner, your scene partner, your director, and you just see what happens. And it's kind of like walking a tightrope. You don't know if you're going to fall or if you're going to fly.
Oh.
And I think Lou Taylor Pucci is that type of actor and taught me something. You know, you always learn from each experience that you do. And I learned to, like, you know, don't, you know, risk more, you know. It was pretty cool.
Like, don't be afraid to go there.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly. Which is why I love your humor.
Yes.
Yeah, right. You're not afraid to go there. It's wonderful.
No, not at all.
It's great.
Yeah, well, sometimes even when you want to go there, you can't. Because there's always fucking politics involved.
Yeah. And the another thing is I just finished working on Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yes. Animal Kingdom looks like a really good show.
It's a killer show.
I wouldn't mind checking that out.
And they are not afraid to go there.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, they are shooting heroin on... they're shooting heroin on... and they're not glorifying it. It's quite ugly, which is what I appreciate. It's quite ugly.
They're showing the real side of
it. They're showing the real side. They're showing... you know, for people who are just involved in really nefarious activities, evil activities... You kind of look at them and see how lost they are, how lost they are, and you feel for them, you know. And you know, I worked there playing a Brazilian, which is kind of cool. I'm very good with languages; I speak several languages, and you know, they just brought me in to play a Brazilian.
You're close enough.
Close, but you know,
Colombian, Brazilian,
But you know, the thing is, what I'm really proud of, actually, a little trivia. Is I actually beat out Brazilian actors.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then they hired a Brazilian actor to be my dialect coach.
That's crazy.
You know, that's one of the things that I personally...
nice.
What I personally think is important, at least from, you know, from an actor's perspective. You know, I personally don't believe that, you know, only a certain actor can play a certain thing you know, a straight actor can only play a straight actor, or, you know, or, no, gay, or a gay actor can only play a gay actor.
Straight dudes play gay dudes.
I think we're all human beings.
And vice versa, I think.
I think we're all human beings. We can all play whatever we want to play.
Yeah. Right. It's called acting.
It's called acting. It's called being someone else.
It's called acting.
And so, you know, I had very few lines, maybe 15, 16 lines. I probably recited those lines several hundred times to get my accent perfect to the point where I forgot about the accent, and then I was just that Brazilian guy giving the information to the lead.
That's awesome.
You know, and then that's why they hired me, because I'm telling the story. And then just as insurance, they hired a Brazilian to just, you know, to tell the director, okay, that take is okay. That take is usual, is usable. And I only missed like one consonant, one vowel.
Yeah.
Okay. And then because I rehearsed so much, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a perfect world, and I certainly don't want to get into an argument with anybody.
Yeah.
But in a perfect world, I would love to see anyone play anything.
Yeah.
And I think that perfect world may have been created by Hamilton.
Mm.
Where Hamilton, you have African Americans playing Europeans, Europeans playing African Americans. I mean, you have it the whole, you just basically, and you forget about it. You just kind of go like, whatever. They're just telling the story about Hamilton.
Right. Okay.
You know, and I think it's quite brilliant, and I think it's, you know, I went to a high school where we had 100 plus countries, and so we never talked to each other like, you know, you're Caucasian, you're African American, you're Puerto Rican, I'm Colombian. It was never about that.
Right.
Jennifer, you know, Camille. What is your name, sir? Sorry.
Oh, JJ.
JJ. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
You know, it was like my best friend was Israeli Jewish.
That's cool.
Pakistani, Muslim,
nice.
And I was Roman Catholic.
Oh,
nice.
And we never, it was always like a automatic respect of like, you know, each other's religion and culture. Oh, you have to go home for mosque, no problem. Oh,
right.
You have to go home for, you know, Seder, no problem. You
That's
know?
Cool.
And then we just play basketball on Tuesday, which was never a holiday, and that was it.
Right.
You know, and I wish the Middle East would be solved that way. You know, guys, play soccer, the World Cup. You know.
Right. Something. Yeah.
You know, and
you have a real positive outlook on life. I like that.
Thank you.
That's
I appreciate
a good thing.
That. I appreciate that. I try to be positive. The best I can. I'm not, you know, Mother Teresa, but I try.
We need more people like you in the world, Gene.
I appreciate it.
We had friends of ours that were on Animal Kingdom.
Oh, nice.
Bam and Zenobia.
Oh, for real?
What up, Bam and Zenobia?
Hey.
Animal Kingdom. Speaking of nefarious people.
Yeah.
They played prisoners.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
They should know that all too well.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. No, Animal Kingdom. Here's a good trivia for Animal Kingdom. It's my third John Wells show. John Wells created ER.
Yeah, I thought I knew that name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Created Shameless.
Ooh, I love Shameless.
And he created Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Now that I know he made Shameless also, I'm going to check that out.
And this brilliant man requires that his actors be off book before they walk on set. And you get in trouble if you don't have your lines memorized. And that might sound really like, oh, isn't that the way all television shows are shot? No. No, you'll see people with like going like this, right, while they're shooting. And so their attention is on memorizing their lines, so there's no, you know, activity here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow? Like, I'm talking to you right now. I don't have to have my lines memorized.
Yeah.
I'm totally engaged with you. You're totally listening to me and engaged.
Right.
If you put a camera right there, it's interesting. So if I was to start going like this, what do you think is going to happen?
Right.
You're out of the shot.
Right. Yeah.
Or even if I'm looking at you, but I'm not as free because I'm thinking about the line, there's some energy thinking about the line. It's not as free. So he requires his actors to do that. Even William H. Macy, who's got tons and tons of dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, and
now
you know why William H. Macy has been nominated for how many Emmys now.
I love that man.
You know?
I love
that man. Anyway, so that's kind of trivia for Animal Kingdom fans. I think it's really brilliant, and I'm going to require it on my sets as I, you know, start producing more and more.
Okay. You know, that's something to learn, you know, something when we get into our productions and stuff that, you know, you have to learn your lines before you come on the set. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I just thought that was kind of like what you're supposed to do anyway.
But my darling, you're from the
theater. Like that days.
You're from the theater.
Yeah.
That's a theater discipline. That doesn't exist here.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, in the theater?
Yeah.
Right.
I had another producer on NCIS LA tell me. NCIS LA is a huge show.
Yeah.
And I was on it the second season, and I was changing words. What's that?
Is that the one with LL Cool J?
Yes. Okay. He's a sweetheart, by
just
the way.
Just making sure.
Fellow Queens resident. Right one. We right. Queens people are
oh,
nice.
Awesome.
He treated me so nice. LL Cool J is awesome.
Oh, cool.
And check this out. The writer comes up to me and says, you change your name. You said essay. I wrote essay. Hey, what are you doing, essay? You said, what are you doing, hombre? Or something like that.
Right.
Why did you do that? And I said, well, your character that you wrote for me is Cartel, right? Yeah. Essay is East L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you wrote a character that is from South Texas, but now you're telling him to speak with a Maine accent.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really stupid.
It'd be really, really. And he thanked me. And then he told me we had lunch together. He says, I wish other actors were like you. And I looked at him like, well, what do you mean? He says, yeah, I have people come on set who don't even have their lines memorized. And I said, they're being paid so much money. Are you kidding me? And then he's like, no. And he was even talking about regulars, not you know, and not the particular one, you know, present company excluded. And then I realized, I said, well, tell your bosses, hire me.
Right.
I have no problem memorizing lines and doing my work, man.
Right.
You know, anyways, it was very surprising. So just to answer your question, no, it's not a tradition.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I always thought that you had to do that.
No.
I mean, that's how I always did it. And my daughter and I just did background acting. We haven't done, like, I mean, as far as, like, real, that kind of stuff goes.
Right.
But when I did theater, we had to learn all our lines before we could even come on stage.
Correct.
And, like, pages and pages. That's what helped me learn for sales jobs. Like, I did the, where you get up and do the presentation, you stand on a podium, and you, oh, look, it's knives now, you know, carves through a tomato after you did, like, through a hammer and crap. Yeah. I cut myself. Anyway. No, but you had to memorize an entire, like, 10-page dialogue of a script. It's your presentation to the crowd.
Correct.
And you had to learn this entire thing. That helped me to learn all of that information. Like, having that discipline helped me doing a lot of sales jobs. Because telemarketing, sales, is the same thing. Is
absolutely.
Acting on the phone.
It's a role. Absolutely.
Okay? Cause, you know, I'm a damn good actor on the phone. I just need to get in front of a camera now. But I've had to memorize many scripts over the years.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know why they don't do that more. Even if it's just for that scene, like that day's work or something. You don't have to do it for, like, everything, but, like, just at least that day's work.
No, they do.
Something.
They do eventually, but what I'm saying is they do it on the set as opposed to being.
Yeah, they should already know it. They should know it before they come.
I came here knowing before I can. We shot out
That's
my
smart.
Scene in 45 minutes.
Dang.
I did that on Hawaii 5-0 too.
Oh, you were on Hawaii 5-0?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I basically saved them probably
$100,000.
Just doing that. Just doing that.
You've
been because
on everything.
It's basically like, you do this, you do that, okay, set up the camera, you're memorized, he knows what choices you're making, shoot me this way, move on.
Mm.
If the guy is every other cut, you know, every other one cut, instead of taking 45 minutes, you're taking an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, your average TV show is about $7 or $8 million. You know, figure that per hour is like $10,000 per hour. Something like that. I don't know what, $100,000 per day? No, my math is off. It's $1 million a day because it's shot out in 10 days. $800,000 a day, 8 hours, is $100,000 an hour. So I don't know if I feel guilty. Of course I have to be going on set totally, you know, off book. I don't want to waste people's money.
Right.
But apparently that's not a tradition. So anyway, I think John Wells is quite a brilliant man that he enforces that on his set. And I think the number of awards his shows have gotten speaks for itself.
Well, I figured out that since you know, your name getting around, I mean, you know, it's been around, but they know that you actually know your lines and stuff, you get better, more work because they know working with you know your lines.
Your lips to God's ears, I hope. I hope.
Right.
I hope.
I figure, man, that, you know, sometimes, you know, some, you know, budget kinds of like, oh, okay, yeah, well, if, you know, you say some type of money, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably true. I hope more and more, obviously.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you is that basically I had been a director for a long time, and I've begun segueing into directing or expanding into directing. And, you know, I'm glad it means a lot that you said that, that I'm, I seem to be a guy with a good heart.
Right.
One of my, you know, pet projects right now is a music video public service announcement that I just directed called Fallen Angel.
Okay. Mm.
And it's basically the entire, it's an anti-opioid.
Okay.
There's an opioid crisis happening in the United States.
Yeah, a lot of people are hooked on opiates right now.
A lot of people hooked on opiates.
Which is ridiculous because it makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
I went to get my wisdom teeth pulled out, and the first thing he gave me was a prescription for OxyContin.
Oh, my God. Mm. And why would you give OxyContin for a toothache?
He pulled out my teeth.
But still, you don't need OxyContin for that.
I looked at him.
That's going too far.
And what was interesting was he kept trying to...
Push them on you. Yeah.
And I told him, I said, sir, I've been sober for 17 years.
Yeah.
And he just went boom. Right? And then he pushed ibuprofen on me.
Yeah, okay. Tylenol is one thing, or ibuprofen, acetaminophen, whatever. That's one thing, but like, going there, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I said, I don't even take ibuprofen.
That's
crazy. The only drugs I take is caffeine.
Right.
And 2 cups a day.
Yeah.
And so, and then finally when I came back to check my teeth, he said, did you use any ibuprofen? I said, of course not. How did you deal with the pain? I says, I don't want drugs in my body, sir. You know? And it was like, it kind of, and that's before I got into directing the movie, but that really stuck in my mind.
Wow.
Like such a culture of drug abuse.
Right.
That's crazy.
And so our opioid crisis that's going on right now is bigger than it was in the 60s and the 70s during the Vietnam War. And one of the scariest statistics that I found was more people died in 2016, 60,000 plus, than in 16 years in the Vietnam War. These are combat soldiers in combat.
Right, yes.
Okay? Less soldiers. I mean, that's like if you go into combat, people are going to die.
Right.
But we're talking about, U.S. citizens dying like nothing, all for profit. For a profit? I mean, are we that unimportant?
Right.
Is the bottom line that important?
Yeah.
You follow?
Absolutely.
And so, there's a wonderful artist, Soy Fabulous. She's out of Miami. She's a rock and Espanol artist, Latina rock artist. Mm. She came to me, and she's like, I want you to direct this video. But I said, I just don't want to do something, pretty girl, pretty boy, whatever.
Right.
It's not interesting to me. I want to tell a story. And between her and me, we realized that there were children who died of opioid. We had no idea because we're sober.
Damn.
Right.
She's sober 12 years. I'm sober 18 years.
Mm.
And so we both had people in our lives, and the story that we make is basically our childhood friends, how they died with opioid.
Okay.
One died in her sleep and another one on heroin.
That's
and so we're telling the story and I put up a lot of statistics and people should see it. It's on YouTube now.
Oh, good.
Anybody can, you just Soy Fabulous,
great.
Fallen Angel. It's really, really important. And write your congressman,
write
your people and I hope some huge artists like Lady Gaga, I would love to see like We Are the World or something like that, some kind of music industry sort of summit to publicize this problem.
Right. Well, we want to thank you so much today. Unfortunately, it's only a 15-minute broadcast that just drives me nuts. I want to thank you so much today for being on the show, Gino.
Oh, yes.
You've been a great guest.
Thank you very much.
Has been on today's episode of Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1. This has been a great interview.
Yes.
I have been captivated the entire time.
Thank you.
You've been talking because you just
fascinating.
I've seen you before though on TV.
Yeah.
I knew you when I saw your pictures when she sent them to me. I was I said, I know this guy. I've seen this guy. So that's cool. At least I knew who the hell you
Thank
were.
You. Thank
so
you.
Some of my guests, I'm like, huh?
You're fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you do stand up?
I need to.
Please. You're fantastic. You crack me up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to do some of that.
You're really funny. You're very, very funny.
And if you ever want to throw a roll Jenny's way, I'm down.
I'm down.
I'd be down to make $10.
I'll write something for you.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, please. That'd be cool. I'd be down for that. We would thank you guys so much.
Yes.
And thank you to Camille.
Thank you, Camille.
Espada PR. Yeah. I know you don't want to be, you're off camera, but I'm still going to say it.
Espada PR.
But that is how we got wonderful Gino today.
Yeah. Yes.
And thank my co-host, JJ.
Hey.
JJ, thank you for your hospitality.
Pat myself on the back.
Go to play Jellyfest.
Oh, Jellyfest? Yes, Jellyfest.
July 27th at Malone's Concert Venue,
Santa Ana, California.
Youngblood Productions and the 517 Agency present Jell-O Fest featuring Green Jell-O. Big let me
in. With special guests,
Faith Destroyed.
Oh!
Satanic Johnny. Fracas. Also featuring Double Bloody Helix,
Flock,
On the Run,
Grand Buffalo Station.
Tickets available at AcropolisTickets.com.
21 and up.
Don't miss Jell-O Fest, Malone's Concert Venue,
Santa Ana, California.
Brought to you by Youngblood Productions and Rock Rage Radio.
We are
everywhere.
Thanks. Anyway, I was talking to nothing. Anyway, little pig, let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Go see Green Jell-O at Jellyfest, Jell-O Fest, whatever you want to call it. Go check them out.
That's going to be good.
Yes, was it on July 27th? So go check that out. That's this next Friday. Next Friday, week from Friday. Go check that out. It's going to be a great festival, a lot of great bands. Malone's Concert Venue down in Santa Ana, California. Go check that out. It's going to be a lot of great shows. Go to the Youngblood Productions page. And I'm not just saying that because he pays me to be part of the Youngblood production
Nathan?
Team. I'm sorry. I'm also part of the Youngblood production team. Sorry. Go to Acropolis Music. Acropolis Music. Go to get tickets from Acropolis Music Group. Go to Acropolis RPM on Facebook. Get your tickets for all the festivals. He's got a ton of shows coming up. Lots of great bands. A lot of the bands that were involved were also bands that were at the Vans Warped Tour, the Battle for Vans Warped Tour this year. So go check them out. A lot of great bands. And again, we want to thank you, Gino, for being on the show today.
My
this has been Gino Montesinos on LA Talk Radio on Jenny's Real Talk of the Block. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye, folks.
Don't say goodbye just yet. Hold on one second. I got to say something. Next week will be Omar Valouz. Was it pop singer? He's pop? Yeah, pop. Pop singer and clothing designer. Did I get it right? Anything else? An actor. Yes. Awesome. Omar Valouz. He will be here next Wednesday on the 25th of July when I'll be in Maine. So he's going to be doing the show next Wednesday.
JJ.
Yes.
Yeah, JJ.
I got this.
This show has been produced by Get Real Global Entertainment.
Get Real Global Entertainment.
I'm sorry, we're both part of that, but he usually pays for it. Okay. Anyway, I try to make some money and help. Okay, but this has been Jenny. And the Muse.
The Muse.
We'll be back next week, or he will. Bye.
Gotta go. See you later.
I'll call in from Maine.
Right.
Bye. Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Probably not. It's sitting out that long.
Right.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.